I have no clue where she's gone. She's vanished.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that is all about talking about movies. And before we jump into the topics today, well, first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Perry, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Prosecco and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
All right, first order of business, it is a very special week because let's just call it Winter's Tale week because we've got a super cool episode coming on Friday night. It is a live episode where we will rewatch Winter's Tale with you guys, and you can check us out on the YouTube channel and follow along live. You could play the movie right when we do, and we could all watch it together, and then we could chat about it on Twitter using the hashtag Winter's Tale Rewatch, and then we're going on a little trip on Saturday. Anybody else want to talk about that part?
We're actually going to go to the house in Winter's Tale.
The house that is so magical that Satan himself cannot go there. They can only hang out in the lake outside.
It's a place for love and hot boiler action. And you can go and see it. And when we found that out, we decided we were going to do a field trip. So we're doing it on Saturday. We're making t-shirts. We're going to make a special video to share with you guys of our trip.
I'm pretty sure this makes us the official Winter's Tale fan club.
I'm pretty sure there's no, like, bigger Winter's Tale fandom out there. Well, not for the movie.
I was going to say the fans. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's no, like, bigger fandom of the Winter's Tale movie.
Yeah,
probably not.
Somewhere there's, like, warehouses of swag that this will get out and then we'll be sent weird t-shirts.
What studio was this movie again?
I don't remember.
Was it Warner Brothers?
I think it was Warner Brothers, so you're welcome, Warner Brothers.
Because it is Warner Brothers.
We are promoting the crap out of your movie so many months after it came out.
And guys, this movie has an especially special place in our hearts because it was from our very first Popcorn and Prosecco.
Which is true, and it's funny because I posted the special, like, we rebroadcast episode one of the show, and as just Winter's Tale. So if you just want to see our review of Winter's Tale, that's now on iTunes. You can download just the audio or the video version. And I called it a mini episode, but we got so carried away talking about Winter's Tale, it is a 23-minute segment.
I'm not surprised.
We loved it. We loved it. Well, we loved not loving
we're
it, I guess.
We're in danger of talking about it for another 23 minutes, yeah. So let's move on for
best
now.
Best worst movie of 2014.
On Friday. Yeah.
All right, so this episode, we're talking about three new limited releases. We're going to start with Honeymoon, then go to Wetlands, and then finish up with The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. And I am starting it off with Honeymoon, which is a movie that I caught back at South by Southwest. It was in the midnight section, and then it got picked up, and here we are. And it is a feature directorial debut. I think her name was Lee Janiak. I believe that's how you pronounce it, who was a really awesome interview and a really talented filmmaker. Now I'm spoiling my review. But she made a movie with Harry Treadaway and Rose Leslie, who you might know from Penny Dreadful, Game of Thrones, respectively. They play a couple that just got married, Paul and Bea, and Paul and Bea go off for their honeymoon out to one of her family members' cabins out in the middle of the woods by some lake, and it's gorgeous. They're all excited. They love each other to the max, and the movie kind of, like, rubs it in your face so much. And then one night, Bea sleepwalks, and Paul can't find her, and finally he does. He brings her home. Everyone's, like, safe and sound, whatever. But then he comes to realize that something's not quite right with her, and things get a little weird. And I love this movie. You know what is funny, though? I liked the movie when I saw it at South By, but I didn't love it. But that was, like, immediately after I walked out of the screening. A little later on, I'm like, you know, I'm still thinking about this thing, and just, like, the dynamic of their relationship and how slowly it changed and, like, I mean, just how messed up that whole situation is. When you see where they start at the beginning and when you see where they end up in the end, it was actually very interesting rewatch it a second time, knowing where it ended. I'm telling you, watch this movie and then watch it again, and there's so many more little hints that you could pick up along the way. Really interesting stuff.
What I found interesting about this movie is, like, so it's about this couple and they get married, and it has so much to do with marriage. It's not even, like, just straightforward horror. Once this thing happens to her, they start to, you know, they kind of start to grow distant from each other. Like, he gets really, like, paranoid about her behavior. Like, she gets really, like, defensive about it. And their relationship starts to break down in a way that it really, like, you don't really need the horror plot line to see that happening to a marriage. So I thought that part of it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's basically they take a domestic thriller where we're getting a lot of those this fall. You know, you got Gone Girl and there's Before I Go to Sleep where they're all movies about, you know, how well do you know the person that's sleeping next to you? And this takes that to a different zone because it's a little more horror monster-y than those movies are likely to be. But it still has that psychological twist to it where it's a question of, you know, trust, and she starts being very secretive, and he's essentially like, you're not the woman I married. And it gets spun into this thriller. I thought it was really interesting. I don't think I was on board with it, like as on board with it as you guys were, and I think that's just because while I thought it was interesting, its kind of slow burn style didn't pull me in.
Oh, I like the slow burn style. For one thing, I went in at like not having. I knew it was a horror movie, but I had no idea what kind of horror movie it was. So I didn't even know if it's like, is it a monster movie? Is it a serial killer movie? I didn't know. So that was kind of an interesting experience. And I thought I liked the slow burn. I like that it doesn't just like kind of like launch into this like overwrought like, you know, horror tale. It kind of just like gives you this like creeping, slowly building sense of like unease, like this sense of like something's off. Like at first, I mean, it's a movie, so you know that when he starts to notice something's weird, you know something's actually up and that it's not like completely in his head, but you know, as you gradually see both of them become like more and more off kilter, I don't know. For me, I didn't watch it under ideal conditions, which I won't get into, but I still enjoyed like the mounting sense of like dread.
I actually would describe this as the horror movie for everybody, because if you're super into like gore and scary stuff, you don't really actually get gore. I don't want to suggest that. But, like, you get the scary thing that you would expect from a typical horror movie. But at the same time, it's very much a relationship drama. Like, a big part of the reason that this movie works at all is because the two leads create such real people where you believe who they are, they have layers, and then they have this really genuine relationship that you, like, want to fight for just as much as they do.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, it reminded me of The One I Love, which is another movie that's, like, you know, you could just, like, read the plot and be like, oh, it's a straightforward, like, you know, kind of sci-fi thriller thing. But the reason that it works so well is because it works, you know, it's really kind of a metaphor, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, you know, relationships and, like, how they unfold and how people come together and come apart.
Two small points. One, I disagree on the point of gore. There is some body horror in here that I found
there
very
is some, but well, Christy made us watch it, so she doesn't get to
spoilers,
talk.
Seriously. It's minimal. It's minimal compared to the large majority of other horror movies out there.
Sure.
Rub it in your face for God knows how long.
It's interesting because there's a lot of subtle moments, and then there's one scene where I was upset.
Understandably so.
And then the other thing is, what's interesting is that they have Harry Treadaway. It's Harry, right? Not Luke?
Harry.
Yeah, Harry.
There's two of them, right? I'm not
crazy. There is two of them.
There's two of them. This one's Harry.
They're both very handsome. It's fine. Harry Treadaway and Rose Leslie are both British, but in the movie, they both have American accents.
I noticed. It's so strange.
They do a fine job with it. We're seeing a lot of...
He's a little better at it than she is.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's, like, not distracting. Like, there's another accent we're going to talk about today that I found really distracting, but it's fine. We'll get into it. But, like, it's interesting. We're seeing a lot of people trying to pull off American accents this summer, or this fall, I guess. And,
I'm, like, trying to guess this bad accent now.
We'll get to it. But, yeah, I saw another movie last night. I'm seeing a lot of movies that are just, like, English people attempting, or not, I shouldn't say English.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
British people attempting English or attempting American accents, and I think it's hard because there's so many American accents, but they say certain vowels sometimes that I'm just like, But
these, you know what? I'm sure they feel the same whenever we try to do their accents.
I do a great British accent. So, face.
And
impression.
You guys, you can cross off your popcorn prosecco bingo. Christy attempts weird accent. So, you're welcome.
That was my all-around English. We're good. I liked the idea of the movie, I think, more than I actually liked the movie. I was kind of struggling to get pulled into it a little bit. Though I have to say, hearing you two talk about it makes me kind of want to watch it again and give it another shot, because I like...
I'll tell you, it's really rewarding to watch this thing again, because it's one of those movies that kind of stuck with me longer than I expected to after I watched it, and remembering what happened, and it's got such a big ending that when you see the reveal, it really does influence everything that happened before, so it kind of gives you the opportunity to re-experience this movie in a new, fresh way, and, you know, I'd probably watch it again, to be honest.
I was a little bummed out that I feel like it tipped. I didn't predict the entire ending before it happened, but I felt like it tipped too much, where I didn't spend as much time as I kind of hoped of trying to figure out what was going on. Like, I felt like I had a pretty good idea early on. Did you too?
You know, it's funny, because that's another thing I really appreciate about this movie, is I have a pretty good idea of what was going on, but, like, my mind wants all the tiny little details. I'm not going to ask these questions here, but there's a lot of things that I was wondering, you know, why they were happening, how exactly they were happening, and who was making it all happen, and it does give you a very, you know, basic idea of what really is going on, but at the same time, I was still wondering, how does this all work?
Mm-hmm. I could say that.
no, you can't.
I mean, I liked it okay. I'm a little surprised when you say that you think it's a horror movie for everyone, because I feel like, I would say it's a horror movie for people that want a kind of slow burn experience, because I mean, it's almost barely horror. You know,
well, yeah, I mean, I think, and I was saying early on, like, I think that's one of the things that made this so unique, is that it's really a domestic drama that has horror, like, domestic drama with, like, horror laid on top of it, it feels
yeah.
like.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I just don't think it was for me.
That'll okay, happen. Well, that actually might make for the perfect transition.
Yeah, it might.
Go for it, Missy.
Yeah, I convinced the girls to watch Wetlands.
Yeah, and you guys want to... I cannot believe... I'm just saying, I'm so angry at you right now that you're complaining about the body horror and Honeymoon.
I know.
Go on. Sorry, Christy.
All right, so Wetlands is a German coming-of-age comedy. I think you could agree it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the reason Wetlands is getting a lot of attention is that it's about a girl who dedicates herself to making her body a biological experiment, which means basically just doing the grossest stuff you can imagine and grosser stuff. And I asked the girls to watch this fully aware of how gross it was, because basically someone had recommended it to me and I watched it, and it is disgusting, vile and gross, and I like dry heaved a little bit. And
yeah,
it's really,
okay,
really
this
gross.
Is a movie where like one of the first, literally the first thing you learn about the main character is that she has hemorrhoids, and you see her like kind of like digging her finger into her butt through her shorts because she's like trying to scratch them, and then you go on and you see her like rubbing her vagina on like a toilet seat. You see
on a really
her, like,
disgusting toilet seat, like a vile train spotting toilet seat.
Yeah, yeah. You see her, like, fishing a rat out of a toilet. You see,
Yeah, she shares a tampon with a friend.
Yeah, yeah, no,
not
it's
like,
not going to be...
Not, like, from her purse, either.
Just no, no, no. She takes it out of her vagina, and her friend puts it in hers. It doesn't
matter. I'm so upset right now. Yeah. But here's the thing. I love this movie, because there's all these gross things, but they have a character purpose. And it's not... I also like that typically when you are exposed to kind of... women body things that are supposed to freak people out and kind of be a body horror, though I don't know that I would call this body horror, though it's definitely gross out, they're usually meant as this kind of like nihilistic, like Lars von Trier society is the worst kind of thing, and that's not what this movie is doing. This is her form of teen rebellion, which is like tied into her love of like skateboarding through the way they shoot things, and it's very clever, and it's her kind, it's like her teen rebellion, and it informs her journey as a person.
It informs her journey, and it also goes into like why this is the form that her rebellion takes, and like
yeah,
why, how she became this.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like it's not just for shock value, and I kind of loved all of that, even though it's incredibly disgusting.
I just couldn't handle it, and like I'm someone that you guys probably know watches a lot of horror. Like I could watch some really freaking disgusting horror. Like I actually just watched this movie where somebody gets like eaten, like torn apart, like literally torn apart by a wild animal, and it was one of the most graphic things I've seen all year, but this movie made me a million times more nauseous. I was sitting there on the couch actually with Lonnie, and I was just like freaking the fuck out.
Did
freaking
Lonnie
out the whole time. She kept looking over my shoulder, and I didn't have headphones, and so she could hear things, and she's like, Harry, stop watching porn! And I'm like, shut up. And then, because there's a couple times where I think, like, they stop with the German, and they say, like, penis, and she's like, did they just say penis? And I'm like, yeah, Lonnie, come on.
I assume she was looking, I'm not going to give too much away, but I thought maybe she looked over at the pizza scene.
Oh,
yeah, I assume that.
You know, every freaking scene in this movie, because I was just so distracted by how nauseous it made me that I couldn't really appreciate anything else. Like, I was unhappy watching this movie.
Had
it was
you
so disgusting.
Not seen trailers? I'm curious.
Yeah, no, I knew exactly what this was going into it.
Yeah, we all knew.
And I will. And I'll admit, when you said let's watch it, I was hoping to get out of it somehow because I like you guys know you've been in my apartment. I think this might be why this movie was not for me. I am a very neat, clean, orderly person, and first of all, it just made me really freaking uncomfortable to look at the thing she was doing, and second of all, I couldn't connect to what she was doing at all. I see what they were trying to do in terms of, like, giving this whole thing a reason and all that nonsense, but even then, it just makes, I don't understand why someone would share a tampon with someone else and, like do that to each other.
Well, I mean, I feel like what's kind of fun about this movie is the fact that we're, like, having talks like this because it's, like, you know, on the one hand, like, yeah, sure, that's disgusting, but on the other hand, like, you know, it makes you think about, like, okay, but where is the line? Like, what makes this disgusting? Why is this inappropriate to watch and other things feel less inappropriate to watch? Like, even right now, I'm wondering, like, you know, why was Christy so much more disturbed by the body horror in Honeymoon as opposed to this, which is way more graphic and disgusting in a lot of ways, whereas Perry was the other way around. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think the discussions around it are really interesting.
And that's kind of the thing.
I personally didn't feel nauseous, but I definitely spent way more of this movie than the last movie going like this. Because, like, a lot of it was fine, but, like, especially, like, after, like, an hour and a half or something, it just, like, starts to wear on you, and I'm like, oh, great, another, okay, all right.
You know what annoyed me the most about her?
I do want to point out, it's not relentless gross out. Like, there's a lot of scenes that are about kind of her growing up, and there are scenes where she kind of flirts with boys and stuff like that, but what I thought was interesting, I in no way connect to her love of depravity. Like, I, like you two, was screeching. Like, my husband did not want to watch this movie, and he would occasionally come in just, I think, to see why I was yelling and just feeling.
I would have loved to have seen this in the theater with you.
Right? No, I was losing my mind. But I loved watching it because I understood her journey, even though I personally couldn't connect with how she was taking the journey. But, like, I understood her sense of teenage rebellion. I understood the main things she wants in this movie, which we didn't even really get into the plot too much. Basically, in her quest to do all gross things, she is shaving her own asshole for just lady shaving, as she calls it, which made me laugh as a term, lady shaving. But she cuts herself and so has to go to the hospital to have that taken care of. And while there, she meets a nurse who kind of digs her, even though she's super gross. And also she sees this as an opportunity to get her parents, who are divorced, in the same space at the same time in this very childish but earnest attempt to, like, want them to get back together. And it's actually kind of funny because for all of these depraved, weird eccentricities that Helen has, she has at her core a very, like, common plot where she wants her parents together and she wants a boy.
I got all of that, but I actually thought that the way she was going about it always felt really selfish to me. And again,
she is incredibly selfish. Like, I was actually,
inexcusably selfish, though. Like, I was almost offended by the way she spoke to her parents and the way she treated other people and the way she treats her friend. I, like, that scene made me so upset, and I'm just like, why do any of you people tolerate this girl for even five? Seriously, if I knew a person like that, I would be so far away, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Okay. Can we talk about the ending?
I feel like, Perry, you would have ducked out as soon as someone was like, hey, let's be blood sisters and share tampons.
Shit.
But I want to point out that that's actually an interesting point, because one, girls do share tampons, not used
not
ones.
Like that.
Not used what? Ones, not used ones. But it's like, oh, you need a tampon, whatever. And that's like a bonding moment. But then on top of that, when you're a kid, you also do the Blood Brothers
thing.
Can
we just clarify that when girls share tampons, those tampons come out of, like, your purse in a
I'm saying unused. Unused sanitary, still in the wrapping tampons. I'm saying that. But also, like, when you're a kid, there's, like, I mean, like, I remember that was the thing when I was little, that if you had, like, a scrape or whatever, you'd be like, no, we're like, family, and you'd, you know, which you totally shouldn't do because it's super disgusting. But it's, like, this takes it to the next level. So I thought that was all interesting, where it takes these things you might be aware of, like, a girl embracing her sexuality, and takes it to this, like, next dangerous, gross level. And even when it was hard to watch, I thought it was really interesting and really daring, and I thought the lead actress is amazing. Like,
I think
you make a totally valid point about her being a selfish character, but I think because the actress's name, the actress Carla Jewell, because she's so charismatic, every time she smiled, I kind of forgave her everything because I just thought she was so fascinating.
And I feel like that's kind of like, I feel like that's like why the character, like, you know, as Perry points out, her actions are very selfish, but she does have like such a charisma that you can still kind of see why people are drawn to her. But can we talk about the ending a little bit?
Yeah. So slight spoilers for the next 2 minutes.
Okay, so like the romance thing was kind of like it was kind of problematic for me because, like, you know, you want, I guess she's the protagonist, so you want what she wants and you want her to get what she wants, but like she's so selfish and I just, like, I don't know, I just couldn't deal with the romance at all. Like it felt, for one thing, it feels like so traditional for like a movie that's like trying really hard to be edgy. It's like, you know, oh, she just, like, she has a crush on this boy, and, like, sure, she gets him by, like, you know, talking about really disgusting things and sex things instead of, like, putting on the right shade of lip gloss, but it felt, like, very traditional, and, like, the fact that he was reciprocating, just, like, I don't know, the whole thing actually kind of squicked me out more than even some of the gross things that she was doing. Did anyone else feel that way?
Well, because she's also, like, a homewrecker. Like, yes, they were on their very long break or whatever, but, like,
They were not together. That part doesn't bother me.
Okay, they were not together, but I kept looking at it, like, look at this other woman who's standing right there who clearly has feelings for this man. Like, and she's just kind of, like, steamrolling her and rubbing it in her face.
It's not on her.
It's not on her, but it just adds to, like, the list of reasons that I think she's a mean person. But going back to the point you made before, I think this actress was fantastic. I think this was a very well-made movie. I liked the pace of it. I thought some of the stylistic choices were very interesting. Not for me at all. Not for me.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere in between you two. Like, I don't think I disliked it as much as Perry did, and I agree. Like, you know, I think that I'm glad this movie exists. Like, I like the idea behind it. I get it. I think the actress is fantastic. You know, I love what it's trying to do, but, like, am I glad that I sat through 2 hours of being grossed out? You know, I think I could have lived an okay life without it.
You know how I won't watch Marley and Me in the apartment because it makes me so sad, so it's, like, banned from my apartment?
Yeah.
This movie would be banned for, like, a completely different reason. If I ever walked in a room and someone was playing this movie, I'd be like, nope, off, or I leave. Done.
Oh, that's funny. I actually am really excited to watch this again. I thought it was really funny. I've never seen a coming-of-age story for a girl that is like this before. Like, gross-out elements are typically kind of the arena of boy coming-of-age movies, like American Pie.
It even goes farther than most of those boy movies, though.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about it. I thought it was really daring. It was really provocative. And even though, and I agree, that the end becomes kind of weirdly traditional considering all this other stuff, I felt great when this movie was over, and not in the way that Perry did where she was like, oh, thank God that was over, but, like, I really enjoyed Helen's story, and I'm probably going to read the book now because I've heard the book's quite a read.
It was actually sad because it ruined my appetite and it was dinner time.
I watched it after dinner, and I was like, that was probably smart.
Good thing I didn't order pizza last night.
Oh, my...
Yeah, don't order pizza and watch this movie. You would have to have a very specific fetish to think that's a good idea.
And especially don't eat movie theater pizza, as Christy learned.
Don't ever eat movie theater
pizza. So many life lessons on this podcast.
But moving on, we should wrap up with our last review of the week, which is The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Them. And it's called The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Them, because it started out as two different movies, The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Him, and The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Her. And it's just about, like, the breakdown of a marriage, and it was supposed to be, like, you know, her, like, it was going to be two different movies where you kind of see it proceed along parallel tracks where you see, like, you know, her half of the story and his half of the story, but at some point along the way, I guess they decided to just cut them together and release it as one. So Jessica Chastain and James McAvoy play a husband and wife who, you know, you see some flashbacks, so you see that once upon a time they were very happy and very in love, but something's happened that the film kind of gradually reveals, and now their marriage is completely breaking down. It was a movie that, like, I mean, I'll admit that I went in knowing that it was supposed to be two different movies, so that's probably kind of why I had this reaction, but even when I was watching it, it really did feel like two different movies that they tried to cut into one. Like, it was, like, paced awkwardly, where you would spend a whole bunch of time with the male character to the point where you almost forgot the female character is this, and then suddenly we'd go back to her and do the same with her, and I don't know.
The tones are very different. Like, we were talking after that, like, she has a very dark storyline, and his feels a lot lighter because he doesn't talk about what's bothering him until, like, the third act. So
yeah, and, like, I kind of feel like
he's like almost in like a romantic comedy about trying to win back his wife.
Yeah, he's like a quirky best friend that sleeps around.
What?
I didn't have that feeling at all, where it was so noticeably different. Like, I was also aware that it was him and her. I think more than anything, though, I think it played fine for me as them. And, you know, them is the more commercial movie that more people are likely to go see. I understand why they did it. More than anything, though, I was just disappointed that I had to see them before I saw him and her. Because I think I would have liked to have seen him and her first, because that would have made me want to see them and see what happens when their stories are together. Versus, like, now I've already experienced it. I don't really need to see, you know, two movies. So now I'm never going to see him and her.
I agree with the second part, that I'm never going to see him and her. But for me, it's because Them barely was a movie. Like, I don't understand how you make two separate movies out of a concept that didn't work as a one movie for me. Because the concept is supposed to be, in theory, we're getting his side and her side of a story. Which is not new. We've had that in Blue Valentine. We had that in The One I Love. We had that in Rashomon. Like, you get a lot of these different sides of, like, how perspective changes the story. That's an interesting concept. The problem is the way they weave these two perspectives together just felt so cliched to me, from like them repeatedly making love around fireflies, because that's just what you do in New York. There's just
are there fireflies in New York?
There are fireflies in New York. I've seen them all the time. But they're not as frequent as they are in this movie, and they definitely don't have a magical way of showing up every time I'm having a special moment. They just kind of come and go without any thought to what my inner story is like at any time.
They're just dicks, those fireflies.
I kind of thought that the movie, like, this is another movie where I was like, I could see what they're going for. I actually agree with Perry that I think I could understand how maybe it would have played better as two different movies, because part of the problem is that the them feels kind of incomplete, especially his half of the story, and I think maybe if we had seen like a whole movie with just his perspective, we would have gotten more of it. It would have been more fleshed out. There would have been more explained.
Well, it doesn't really balance the two. It is more her perspective.
It's more her than
it is.
It is way more her.
She's also such a freaking sad sap. Like, I just wanted to jump into the screen and, like, shake her and be like, just be happy. Look at this nice man you have here. I know something terrible happened in your life, but, like, are you?
Oh, my God, are you kidding? Like, I feel like, I don't know. She has a pretty good reason to be sad, and it's actually weird that he wasn't more sad.
I sided with her over him, especially because his response to things was, like, trying to force her back into his life. Like, when he starts following her, I was like, and I'm out. Like,
You know, it's funny. I'll admit that, like, God forbid something like that ever happened in my life, I would probably, like, shut down and be, like, 10 times worse than her when I'm watching a movie. It's like, you know, come on. Just be happy
about
it.
That's
probably why I took to him a little more than her.
I don't know, but the thing is, continuing on what I was saying earlier, I can see how maybe it would work better in some ways as two different movies, but the thing is, the parts of the movie that we saw made me be like, it probably would be kind of a clumsy movie either way, because, like, this movie is, like, weirdly overwritten, it's, like, filled with cliches, there are so many scenes where characters say things that kind of, like, if you're not listening, you're like, oh, that sounds inspirational and uplifting, and then when you actually listen to the content, you're like, that makes no fucking sense, and then characters will sometimes be like, well, you know, I'm probably not making sense right now, and that happens, like, 3 times with 3 different characters. So I was like,
that's
no,
totally
after a
true.
Point, you're just kind of trying to excuse your own lazy writing.
People set up metaphors that don't make sense or use ones that are just not common. Like, I did look it up because there's one point where someone goes, well, it's time to shoot the crow. And I was like, I have no idea what that means. I had never heard that before. It is on Wiktionary, so apparently it's a thing people say. But it's not enough of a thing that people say that it wasn't confusing to me. And then, like, there's parts where, like, someone's like, well, we live in a world full of probablys. Like, too much of it sounds like dialogue that I imagine was written at a Starbucks. It was just really hard to get into these characters and take them seriously when they're all talking like fortune cookie wisdom.
I was going to just say that sounds like a really shitty fortune cookie.
And there's absolutely so much of, like, I don't know, the movie just kind of doesn't seem to, like, trust the actors to do their job a lot of the time, so it'll keep trying to...
I think the stuff for the t-shirts has gotten here, so I'm going to run out. Keep going.
Are you
Should
still
we just
there?
Wait for her to come back? Let's just wait for her to come back.
Guys, look, it's me here. We got the package. So this here is for t-shirt making. It's very exciting. That'll happen on Friday. Sorry about that. I didn't want to miss it and then not have t-shirts. So my big issue, though, I shouldn't say my biggest issue, because I took issue with the way that this movie just felt kind of loosely threadbare together and all that jazz. But James McAvoy, they should have just let him be Scottish, because his American accent in here is just wildly distracting to me.
I thought he was so good. It's funny, because I walked out of that movie thinking, like, damn, man, you know your American accent. Because it sounded so natural. Like,
I thought it was in between. Like, I liked it more than... I wasn't as bothered by it as Christy, but I didn't like it as much as Perry. But it did seem like a bizarre choice to me, because it's not good enough that it's not distracting sometimes. And not only that, but his dad in the movie is also not American. So there's no reason why James McAvoy's character needs to be. It's very strange.
I just find it really funny that you bring that up, because I remember specifically walking out of this movie thinking, like, damn, that guy does a good American accent.
No, Harry Treadaway does a good American accent.
He does.
James McAvoy, maybe with a little bit more practice, but not this one.
I feel like it's something about the way he says his vowels or something. It's not right. It kept, like, hitting my ear in a weird way. And because, like, so much of the movie wasn't working for me, I just started getting annoyed.
Well, when a movie isn't working for you and there's something like that to focus on, you are going to focus on it. That's for sure.
That's true.
Right, so what's the end result on this thing? Do we recommend it?
I wouldn't.
It's okay.
Both of them have done better movies. It's an interesting idea, but there are movies that have done this more interestingly.
Yeah. I'd say go for Honeymoon this week.
I'd say Wetlands.
Okay, watch Wetlands if you have a strong stomach, but if you want to watch a movie about the breakdown of a marriage, I think Honeymoon is actually the better film today.
Yeah, horror! After we tore it apart last week.
Wait, Christy, do you like Honeymoon or Eleanor Rigby better?
I liked Honeymoon better.
All right, so everyone is a thumbs up for Honeymoon. Wetlands depends on how strong your stomach is. And Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, it sounds like we didn't hate, but none of us particularly recommend it.
But you guys seem to agree at least that Wetlands is an interesting and pretty well done movie, just but that it wasn't to your taste. Is that right?
Yeah.
I had things, I liked it, I liked the elements of it, and there were a few things I didn't like about it, but, you know, overall, it's a good movie, but it's for a very specific taste. I guess it's worth checking out, but, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I don't know, knowing how I reacted to it, I just can't recommend it to anyone. But that is all the time we have for this. Well, we actually, you know, I can't even say this all the time we have for this week, because we're coming back this week. That's all the time we have for this episode. So don't forget, Friday night, 8 p.m., we are rewatching Winter's Tale, and we want all of you to rewatch it with us. So go on our YouTube channel, which you might be watching this on right now, and you'll be able to see us there live and rewatch the movie with us. And then you can talk to us on Twitter using the hashtag Winter's Tale Rewatch. So be sure to do that. And then soon we will have a bonus episode of sorts, including the footage and the pictures we take while we go on that trip to, what do we call it, the Winter's Tale Castle? Is that what it is, a castle?
I think it's a mansion. House. I don't think it's a castle. It's a mansion.
What's it called? What's, like, the official title of the place? Do we know that?
No. Well, I mean, the actual place in real life is called Lyndhurst. I don't know what it's called in the movie.
All right, well, it's the Winter's Tale Castle. All right, let's just call it that.
If you can't make it Friday, which you totally should, because it's going to be super fun, the episode will be on YouTube, and we'll release the audio so that anytime you want to watch Winter's Tale with us, you can download the audio and have your own commentary track.
And we know you're going to want to watch Winter's Tale a lot, over and over and over. And now you can watch it over and over again with us. All right, that is it for episode 31. Even beyond Winter's Tale, find us on YouTube, iTunes. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter, @popcornprosecco. We are also on Facebook. So like us, comment, support us, anything you guys want. And all three of us are also all over the internet as well. Christy, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, @ChristyPetchko, and you can find more about my personal highlights and blogs at secondincriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter @AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And I am on Twitter as well, @PNemiroff, and you can also find my writing on Collider. So that's it for this episode. We will see you again very soon.